It's NOLA History Guy Podcast for Saturday, April 13th, 2019. And welcome to NOLA History Guy Podcast. A couple of short things today for our short form podcast presentation. Hopefully it'll be some fun stuff for you. It's festival season, and it's been a blustery day today in New Orleans, but all's well for French Quarter Fest, because it looks like pretty much the rain has managed to bypass everything. It was awfully gloomy, and you know, I've been out of town this week, and I went out to the PJs on Canal Boulevard this morning, and got my train fix and everything, and just looking at the weather, and I'm like, boy, this is not looking good. And then the sun came out, but it's been blustery. I mean, Winnie the Pooh and Piglet blustery day kind of thing, but that's okay. And the big thing here is when we talk about festival season, you know, spring, we have, you know, spring festivals and fall stuff and that kind of thing. And of course, lots of stuff in the summer to keep us busy while we're sweating our tails off. But French Quarter Fest has always kind of been the first big thing, but it's not necessarily, I mean, it's like the kickoff that you can point to and say, this is it. But this year in particular, because Carnival was early, the Spring Festival has kind of started out a little bit earlier. And specifically that because what we have is you always have the Lenten fish fries at different schools. Usually the fish fry thing is well, it's absolutely a Catholic thing in the sense of, you know, go get some catfish or some fried shrimp because you're supposed to, Catholics, you know, are supposed to abstain from eating meat, except for alligator. Thank you, Archbishop Homeboy, for declaring alligator to be seafood. But so anyway, the catch is those that, yeah, it's like the Lenten fish fry. Some parishes, you know, will go to bigger lengths with this, in that, you know, you might even have a band or two come out and that kind of thing. You know, sometimes maybe, sometimes not, because, well, people give up beer for Lent and that becomes a problem too. But as the fish fries start and people start getting a little bit, you know, it's like you're getting out of that I'm gonna be inside, you're getting into that, you know, it's getting to the point where I can wear shorts and flip-flops again. And so that's when, you know, the festivals really start rolling. But when French Quarter Fest, you know, that it's always that middle of April weekend, when that happens, then everything goes. Now, French Quarter Fest has just gotten huge. And that's a good thing for, you know, the French FQF productions and, you know, the folks down there, and it's a good way to get people into the quarter and walk around. I mean, basically everything's free if you, you know, except you have to pay to eat and drink. You know, it's like you want to get a little something from a food booth and get, you know, a cocktail or a beer or something, and that's fine. You know, but it's that kind of, you know, that we always talk, in particular, in the computer industry, we've always had the cathedral versus bazaar model. And the Jazz Fest is the cathedral model, and French Quarter Fest is, ooh, there comes the wind again. French Quarter Fest is absolutely the bazaar in that sense, because it's just, you know, you just walk through and enjoy what you want. So two things on to talk about today. We're gonna do our discussion of the pick of the week from NewOrleansPass.com, which is Miss Campanella's Today in New Orleans History page on Facebook as well. And then we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to unpack a photo that I came across that's just kind of cool. And, you know, we're going to get into that and talk about it. So that's the two. That's the plan, right, is to discuss those two things. And let's get going. So the New Orleans Past, the Today in New Orleans History, we're going to take Campanella's April 11th post. So if you go in, if you're on Facebook, you just pop in the search, and we'll put this on the show page, of course. You pop in the search and you just look for the page "Today in New Orleans History," and if you're not a Facebook person, just go to neworleanspast.com. And again, we'll put the links on the show page. So you get there in the April 11th issue, the April 11th post is a picture of Ernest Nathan Morial standing next to one of the gondolas from the 1984 New Orleans World Exposition. And, the gondola was called MART, Mississippi Aerial Rapid Transit. And the idea was, you know, because there's a lot of things about, you know, World's Fairs aren't supposed to be Disney. They're not supposed to be Six Flags. They're supposed to be, educational, promotional of big pictures, your city, your region, the industries in it, the science and technology developing. So, you know, I mean, amusement parks have had gondola rides, you know, and have had aerial rides just for years. But this one was huge because the idea here was this is a gondola ride that went across the Mississippi River. You know, it was of a height that there haven't been that many gondola rides that have gone up this high in the air before. So, so it's 1984, well, really 1982, the planning for the fair or the development of the fair is going. And you can read, I don't want to just repeat what Campanella's written. Definitely go out to her page and by all means buy her damn books because they're great. Buy my books too, by the way. No, but anyway, seriously though, you know, go out and read the story that she tells about it. And then, you know, so this is our pick for the week, so I'm going to just throw in, you know, my additional points to this. And there's a couple of things. So, you know, so the idea is that this is a gondola ride, but it's not like an open Ferris wheel kind of swing your feet thing. This is a serious thing that was, these cars were closed in, and because you were going high up, and it was designed to be an aerial transport. It was not, you know, going to be the little swing your feet across at the beach to get you over to the Raging Cajun, you know, that sort of thing. So, okay, so you go to her page, and you go to this entry, and it's Dutch. And just God love him, you know. It's like people say, oh, he was corrupt and everything. Don't bring me all that, okay? Mayors have been corrupt. They've been racist. They've been this. They've been that. Dutch was good for this city. Dutch stood up to the police union when they were trying to take over. You know, basically force his hand on salary and you know, hold Carnival hostage. He did a pretty good job. The Dutch's problem, you know, we could talk about Dutch a different time. You know, the third term thing was, you know, that's something that's a discussion in and of itself. But this picture is just great. It's one of those Bakke pictures when he was the photographer for Dutch, and you know, the comm staff. My sister was on the comm staff at the time, right? So it's, you know, just hearing all the stories about, you know, just how, you know, just the things they were up to and getting around. And he's just such a great guy. So this is a little smirk on his face. You know, yeah, I'm pulling this together, you know, kind of thing. And so it's Dutch posing with the MART car. But let's talk about the gondola. So the gondola was the attraction was solid. The idea was that the East Bank station for the gondola was in was at Julia Street, just before what is now the Ernest and Morial Convention Center, and the idea there is it was, you know, the gondola itself, the ride, the attraction was the idea was that it was the station to, you know, the cabling and the towers and everything were just a little bit downtown, downriver from the convention center, right there at Julia Street. It's where it is now is part of the Riverwalk Marketplace, going, you know, connecting, kind of more or less, you know, ending there, and and that little that space between there and the convention center. And it took you across the river on the wire and dropped you back down on the West Bank at the original location of Blaine Kern's Mardi Gras World. Now, Mardi Gras World, the idea, you know, and again, we can do a whole story on Blaine Kern as well, and we should sometime. The idea behind Mardi Gras World was Kern had all of this warehouse space over on the West Bank, and that's where he keeps the floats. And so basically what they did was they took some of that space and turned it into a year-round attraction. I can remember going over there one time, and I guess they still do it, was that, you know, one of the things that they keep on kind of a permanent display, other than pulling it out for Bacchus Sunday, is the Bacchusaurus. And because it's got the fiber optic lighting, and you dim the lights a little bit, and, you know, you got this big old float, and kids ooh and ah over it, and lady artist, my dear friend Elizabeth Person, you know, just went over to Mardi Gras World, and she's like, you know, yeah, styrofoam, power tools, and computers, I'm there, you know, that kind of thing, because they're just a very creative group of people. So the idea was to get you over to Mardi Gras World and hopefully then pay admission to go over and see the Mardi Gras thing. Unfortunately, that was the plan, you know, it was the idea that it would be an attraction that would take you over a little bit. But what ended up happening is locals didn't really want to go to Mardi Gras World all that much. They'd been already. You know, it's one of those things that's like, you know, if you're a local, you see it once and you're kind of done, sort of thing. So they got on the gondola, they got to the West Bank, and then they just kind of went back. And so the projections, and like with a lot of the financial projections, just didn't really work out as you would expect. So of course it just, you know, it was just part of the overall financial fiasco that was the World's Fair, but everyone else still thinks of very fondly. You know, everybody's got a story about the gondola scaring the daylights out of either themselves or somebody they know. I've heard a few prurient stories as well about things that happened in some of those gondolas, which kind of is creepy. But anyway, so basically what happens, of course, the fair ends. And in 85, the owners, the operators of MART, tried to turn it into an ongoing transportation service. And when you think about it, commuting over MART wouldn't be such a bad idea. Yeah, it's like if you got over the whole, you know, riding on a cable over, you know, at the height of the you know, of the Crescent City Connection thing, it wouldn't be so bad. But the problem was that the part of Algiers where Mardi Gras World was is, and actually, you know, by the way, just as a side note, because I love Mardi Gras World, you know, I and you know, the whole concept. Mardi Gras World's now on the East Bank, of course. It's over where the casinos used to be, you know, where the riverfront casinos in New Orleans and that whole fiasco, which were on the other side of the convention center, basically further down, you know, past Calliope, you know, way past Calliope, you know, back going on Chapultepec. So, you know, you have all of that over there, and it was cool, you know, but yeah, that didn't work, and so that area, Kern redeveloped it into what is Mardi Gras World now. So, okay, but so it's now the fair is over, the ride, you know, the attraction part of it, you know, ride over on this thing you've never been on before and ride back. You did it once, you did it twice, you know, you were kind of done with it at that point. As it being a commuter service to, you know, kind of rival or be an adjunct to the ferry, let's say, the problem with that was is that the part of the West Bank, you know, that upriver side a little bit of the West Bank had not been really populated at the time. It just wasn't, there wasn't really anything over there. It wasn't like people were going to park and ride from there. I suppose they could have do park and ride like you live in Marrero or something. You drive over to, you know, by Mardi Gras World and take the MART, and next thing you know, you're at the convention center. Now, the problem with that was that there just wasn't much, you know, what we think of now as the Warehouse District and then the Julia Street Arts District, and then now coming down into South Market and some of the developments down there. You know, like, I could see my son, you know, he spends a lot of time at the Entergy building right there, you know, by the dome. You know, I mean, let's say that wouldn't be such a bad thing. You know, you end up at the convention center and you walk over to, you know, just walk down Julia, walk up Julia, end up at Loyola, and yeah, he's almost sort of there. You know, it wouldn't be such a bad thing. Or if you lived in the Warehouse District, you could kind of, you know, if you worked in the Warehouse District, you could live on the West Bank and go over, but it wasn't there yet at the time. And so it fell into disuse. They closed it down. And then by 1993-ish or so, the U.S. Coast Guard just said, hey, look, these towers, if you're not going to use this thing, it's just in disuse. You know, you're not maintaining it. We're going to consider this a navigational hazard and we want it gone. So the people that owned it tried to move it to Corpus Christi and ran into some problems with that. And basically, that's when the Coast Guard just said, no, it's got to go. And it was demolished in February of 1994. And, well, that's the story. The cars live on. They're still around some places. One of the things that caught my eye, just looking at Dutch here, you know, is just, you know, between that and my memories of Mart and also Froggy, I come across this in the midst of the fading sign stuff. I came across a photo he took at Poe Fair Market of one of the cars, and I was like, you know, yeah, this is cool. It makes me want to go down there and go sit in the darn thing or something, you know. So Mart, the gondola, yeah, this was kind of a fun thing, and Dutch in the World's Fair. And you know, for all that it was a mess in the long run, it's proven to kind of work out because of the convention center has been very, very successful for the city. And in addition to that, just the boom, you know, the emergence of the Warehouse District and, the signs I'm finding on some of the buildings where, you know, used to be a warehouse and now it's apartments or something. It's very cool. So, so that's our first part. You know, it's again, this is NewOrleansPast.com or Today in New Orleans History on Facebook. And it's her April 11th, because the photo, this photo with Dutch was shot on April 11th, 1985. Or it says 85, but I think it's got to be 84. It could be 85. Could have him being trying to promote it. Okay, so we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we've got a photo to unpack that's really, really neat. NOLA History Guy podcast is sponsored in part by Art in the Bend. Art in the Bend is an arts market held monthly at Nuance, a gallery at 728 Dublin Street up in the River Bend, basically behind Yvonne Lafleur's U Boutique. The next Art in the Bend will be on Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., featuring, among others, Heather Mattingly and her 12-inch by 9-inch NOLA Houses paintings, papier-mâché carnival sculptures by Brian J. Bush, jewelry by Heather Elizabeth Designs, incredible sculptures by Michelle Miller, hand-painted scarves by Kathleen Grumich, photography by Ron Ferrucci, and books, nonfiction history and fiction by Edward Branley, the NOLA History Guy. So come on out. That's going to be Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Nuance, 728 Dublin Street in the Riverbend. And we're back. Okay, so we've got an interesting photo. If you look on the show page, it's neat. I came across this. There's a Tumblr called. I gotta pull this up because I don't remember. Let me look for the exact thing. Now, you know, some of you people, Tumblr's probably still scaring you because of Tumblr is probably still scaring you because of all the porn that used to be on there, but you know, it's like that kind of, you get that, right? You know, so the Tumblr is called Vintage Nola. So if you go to Tumblr and you put in a search, it's Vintage Nola. His or his her their profile pic. Well, their background, their cover photo, if you will, is an old picture of Café Du Monde in the French Market. And then, I got to say, French Market to qualify it now because so many of them in other places. Kind of interesting. And then their little avatar, their profile avatar, is it's an old 50s picture of two Archer streetcars in front of the old Coca-Cola building at 127 Canal with it's a big electric Coca-Cola sign with a clock. It's kind of it's an iconic postcard that I wish I could use it, but I still haven't figured out who to attribute it to and everything else. So if you scroll down a wee bit, you get an entry that they have up there. That is a photo that they just say, City Park Avenue, 1951. Whoop. And it says via Times-Picayune Photo Archives and NOLA.com. And of course, it says Times-Picayune Photo Archive, but what's interesting there is kind of I have questions kind of thing was, you know, is this a, not sure if this is a real Times-Picayune picture or if this was from the States item. And there's no specific reference to the photographer. I'll go dig at some point and see who this was, but it's a great picture because 1951 was a very, it's a photo of City Park Avenue, right, you know, basically right at Canal, you know, you could see, you know, at the cemeteries, you see Greenwood Cemetery on the left-hand side, and the photographer is standing basically right before the underpass that leads, that is the railroad tracks that lead you back down to what at this time in 1951 is still Union Station back down on Howard Avenue, you know, because Union Passenger Terminal, the train station that we're all used to now, doesn't even happen until 1954. So that underpass is there. By 51, the New Basin Canal has been closed. It's been filled in. There's a neat photo, an aerial photo from 49 or so that shows the New Basin Canal filled in, and it's just all that new clean concrete where they, you know, where the canal was filled in at Metairie Road is all just so white because nothing's happened. There's been no weathering or no aging really at that point. It's just incredible. So the photographer's standing, looking back into town, basically from the Pontchartrain Expressway location. That really isn't Pontchartrain Expressway yet. And there's a lot of stuff going on here. You've got old cars heading on City Park Avenue out to Metairie, and in the foreground, in the lead, is an old looks bus. And I'm gonna have to get Streetcar Mike. By the way, if you don't know streetcarmike.com, that's Mike Strauch's website. Mike is very much a bus person, and when I post this, he'll tell me chapter and verse on this bus. I lump them all together as old looks buses, and I think that's part of my, you know, experience of riding them on the Cartier line back as an eighth grader. You know, I think this one, well, 51, obviously, this one wasn't around in 71, but maybe it was. I don't know. I'll have to ask Mike. But it's that old maroon and cream livery on the buses, and the roll board says Metairie, and he's heading out. That's basically where the line started, was just right at that old bus stand on City Park Avenue up against the wall at Oddfellows Rest Cemetery. And the bus would pull up there, and then it would kind of make that U-turn on Canal Boulevard, that very first U-turn, then make a right turn, back onto City Park Avenue and head out to Metairie, and it would just cruise down Metairie Road until it got to Severn, right there where, you know, Metairie Road comes to an end at Severn, sort of Severn and Airline Highway, and then that's where he'd make the turn and make the inbound run again. So that's the old Metairie line. Some great cars here. There's sign for a drugstore that was still there. There's the back of another bus going inbound at that point, and it's hard to tell if that's the West End bus or if that's another Metairie bus, because by 51, the old the West End line was converted to streetcars in 47. I mean, converted from streetcars, sorry, and in 47. In the far left is the Confederate tumulus that basically that's where the Confederate dead that were originally interred in Chalmette National Cemetery were, a ladies' organization in 1874 paid to reinter. Basically, they dug up the Confederates that the rebel soldiers that were in Chalmette Cemetery. Because it was basically a cemetery for Union troops and colored troops in particular. There's just hundreds of, well, it's almost all Union troops at that point, and then hundreds of those men were honorably buried in Chalmette National Cemetery. And, well, the ladies group in 1874 didn't kind of appreciate the rebel soldiers being buried with the colored troops, so they reinterred them into Greenwood Cemetery, and that's that monument, that's that tumulus that you see in the furthest out, the western corner of the front of Greenwood Cemetery. Then looking back into the photo now on City Park Avenue, there are two Archer streetcars. Now, again, this is 51, so that means that those two streetcars are going to be on the canal line, because both the canal streetcars and the streetcars on the West End line made a left turn. They hit the end of Canal Street right there by Cypress Grove and Oddfellows Rest, and they took a left turn into a streetcar lane on the streetcar tracks on City Park Avenue itself, in those blocks between City Park Avenue and the New Basin Canal. The West End car, West End line cars, would continue all the way to the canal, and then they'd make a right turn, and then they'd follow the railroad tracks. There was a streetcar track that ran all the way, ran out to West End. It ran out to the lake, and that was the line. So by 51, that's the bus. It's that line's buses now. So these two streetcars have to be on Canal. They made the left turn onto City Park Avenue, and then they would switch directions and go back inbound at that point. The operator come out, the motorman at the time would come out, pull down the pole that was in the back, now the front, let release the pole that is now the back, and off they go back to. Well, at this time, that would be Liberty Place, and they'd make that circle around Liberty Place at the foot of Canal. So there's a lot of great stuff here between the Archer streetcars, the old bus, this drugstore sign, a couple people walking around, and then the continuity of Greenwood Cemetery, just there like it is today. I'm gonna have to try to, maybe I'll do a Google. Well, I'm not gonna do a Google shot today, but we'll take a look at it. So it's just a lot of fun stuff going on. Of course, now the Canal Street car is back, but instead of making a left turn onto City Park Avenue, it's making the right turn to go into that to the new cemetery's terminal. That's right there in the first block of Canal Boulevard. So that kind of unpacks the photo, and it's still a bit of, we have still a couple of questions about it, so I'll put it up in the usual suspects of the groups and everything, and we'll see what comes up, and we'll just append that to the show page as we go. So so that's kind of where we're going. I'm chugging along still on the on Fading Signs, having a lot of fun with that. Starting to make some notes on the fiction and some ideas about different things with both the Dragons universe and Talents. Talents is going to, I came up with a couple of really interesting ideas for things with Talents that, kind of do a little more in Gentilly this time, I think, if it works out that way. But then you never know. In a week, I might change my mind. So anyway, that's it for our short form pod for NOLA History Guy for this week. Again, be sure to come out to Art in the Bend next Saturday. That's going to be at Nuance up in River Bend on Dublin Street, basically right behind Yvonne Lafleur's, and it's right there by Barcelona Tapas. Come on up, come say hi. I'll be there from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock, weather permitting, and come on out, buy a book, or at least if you already own one of my books, you know, bring it along with you. I'll be glad to sign it, even if you don't buy it. You know, you bought it. What the heck? It's all good. So yeah, come say hi, come visit, and until next week, we'll see you then. Bye bye.